episode 440 of Global from Asia. We have Flippa here talking about a road show. I hope to see you here and some amazing opportunities for buying and selling your business into the new year and more. Let's tune in.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you so much for deciding to watch or listen to the Global from Asia show, 440 shows, globalfromasia.com/Flippa is the URL today for the show notes and links and information. There's lots of that. We have Fiona. I have been working with the last couple months on our roadshow together, joint roadshow. It's a fun one. We'll talk about it in the interview. Also, leading up to the Cross Border Summit, they are supporting and sponsoring the summit. Super amazing to have their support. Really appreciate it. It's been fun. We have great people lined up. So let's get into the show. And afterwards, I will share some of my behind-the-scenes planning for the roadshow. 6 cities in 3 weeks leading up to the Cross Border Summit. Let's tune in first, and then if you're with me after, I'll get into some more behind-the-scenes. Let's do this. Are you looking for USA banking solutions for your e-commerce business? I am proud to say Mercury.com is supporting the podcast here 3rd year in a row at Global from Asia, and we're proud to say it because we use them ourselves for many of our own Amazon brands and e-commerce brands and joint ventures with our US structures, and they're super easy to do, online application, no fees, and they have great customer support, have helped us with trouble with Amazon Seller Central over the years about some receipts and statements and everything like that. So we're so happy to say thank you, Mercury, for supporting our show, being a great service, and supporting other e-commerce sellers. We're really proud to say they're a sponsor here. And we also have a video tutorial as well as an overview and a special link with a little bonus for you as well for us under certain conditions. Check it out at globalfromasia.com/Mercury. For that information. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Mercury. All right, thanks everybody for tuning into our Global from Asia podcast. We have a phone with Fiona. I've gotten to know pretty well over the last couple of months. How are you doing, Fiona?
I'm great, Mike. How are you?
Great. We're so busy, both of us. I guess there's a lot coming this year, a lot of exciting things, and you're heading up the Asia expansion for Flippa.com. It's really, really amazing to have gotten connected with you, and you're in all around Asia lately. We'll be also doing a roadshow together very soon. We'll speak about that later. But where you're in Bali right now?
Yes, I'm in Bali at the moment, but it's a little bit of ask me where I am, and I could be anywhere in Asia at the minute. So, which is a blessing, definitely. I'm super excited to be working in this region. It's just definitely an emerging and exciting region, as well. So, yeah. No better place to be if I do say so myself.
Maybe a little bit about your time in Asia. I mean, but that just struck. You got two thoughts popped on mind. One is, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Do you know that one?
No.
I guess it's showing me an old. It was a really cool video game back in.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay, like an old computer video game. But it was, I think it was a female main character, Carmen Sandiego, but she had like a red overcoat, right? With the hat, and she would, it was like a learning game, but you had to figure out where she was based on some hints. Like, mm-hmm. It was kind of like geography, learn geography in mm-hmm. this game, because they would give you tips about the location and you would try to guess. But so that was the first thought. And the second was, I've been here a while now, and it's the energy and the insanity. I like the chaos. Some people can't. I guess if you like it here, you must like that, especially for this roadshow. It's going to be chaotic. But I love it. I remember the first time I came, Hong Kong was my first location, and it was just so many people and just so much energy. And I guess I like the chaos. I don't know what's your favorite parts or what you like about Asia?
Well, first off, it's funny that you say that character, because I don't know the video game, but my friend dressed up as that character for Halloween once.
Oh, now you got to look it up.
Yeah.
It just popped in my mind. It didn't. But where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? It's kind of maybe your life. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, Asia, it's to me, every place is a little bit different. Like you're in Singapore is different to Thailand, which is different to China. And there's, it's a lot of, which can be challenging, right? Like you and I are going to go on the roadshow, six cities, all very different culturally, all very different from an economic perspective. But the amount of growth that this region is seeing, the amount of opportunity and excitement, whether it's from locals, whether it's from expats, nomads, like it's, I think, a really exciting time to be in Asia, and I'm excited to kind of see where it goes.
I mean, actually, I'm not sure where in Australia you're from, but you're Australian originally. And I think Aussies are just tougher, though. You're like a tougher, because I think there's some, I don't know about Australia, but some expats come to Asia. And then I don't know if you have friends or people that kind of like can't take it and can't wait to go back to their home country, right? Like some, you probably know those people. I've met quite a
I do.
few. So you've, but you're dealing, you're a tough one. I see. Like you can deal with the chaos and can't, like he's every country, like especially where I guess we should talk more about this roadshow planning, but even the roadshow, right? Like we might have bodyguards at one. There's the cultures are so different in each of these places and it's tricky.
I mean, I think you've got to respect cultures a little bit when you go to these places too, right? Like, yes, it's different to Australia and the US and things like that. But I think if you take the time to understand a culture, take the time to respect it and just work with it. So you kind of take it in your flow a little bit, and maybe we have to, get some extra people to help us out, or we have to wing it a little bit in some places. And look, Flipper does put on these events globally. So we do, like what we put on in London is again a little bit different to what we put on in Austin, Texas. So I think we've learned to just kind of go with the flow a little bit. And if you respect the culture and kind of just take it in your stride, one, you learn a lot about the people and the economy and whatnot. And that in turn helps you grow your business too,
I
I think.
agree. Yeah, I'm originally from the US. I haven't been back in, man, 6, 7 years now. Might take the kids next year. It seems like they want to go. But a lot of times, some cultures, I think some people don't do well globally, is they try to force everybody to follow their culture or their way, right? And especially in these expat, every city has the expat bubble, right? You can go to the expat area where you may have the more Western food and the Western like a common, and I've kind of lived in those over the years. But I think though to really succeed, you kind of got to, like you said, you got to adapt. I actually have a workshop I do about like China business, and it's like a 3-hour workshop I've done a few times, not lately, but I call it tread lightly. So like when you're going to a new country or a new culture, right? You're not trying to rip in there with your 4x4 and just like rip up the trees and like dig through the dirt. You kind of got to go slowly. And otherwise, I think you'll just burn out and fail usually. I mean, I think that's why a lot of these international expansions fail from some countries or people. They try to just push their ways or their country or their culture onto the people. And that's definitely an issue, I'd say.
Yeah, I think you're met with resistance if you do that, right? People put up a defense, and you're met with resistance. If you kind of go and sit in it a little bit, then it's like when someone takes over a business. A lot of the time, a buyer will come in, take over a business, and they will continue to run it as it's being run, pretty much the same for 6 months, and just sit in it, and then figure out where the changes need to be made and how to do that efficiently.
Agreed. So yeah, we kind of touched on it, but let's just formally talk about the Asia Roadshow, which is coming up. It just we'll put this show out right a week before the first week. So this will go out on the 17th next Tuesday. So we'll have one starting the week after on the 24th. So flippa.com/Asia is the quick, easy URL to see all of the different places. But we have 6 cities, 3 weeks. So starting here in Chiang Mai, you'll meet up here in September 24th. Down to Bangkok the 26th, which is Thursday. And then we're going to go into Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh first. We're going to do it at Asia at the Amazon's offices, which is really beautiful. And then we go up to Hanoi, which will be a cool venue. And then we go up to Hong Kong, which we actually just confirmed the venue. And then into Shenzhen, China. So it's gonna it's actually if you look on in a map, it kind of isn't a little bit of a line from like so it's it makes some sense. And I think it's a little bit maybe different than like the ones in the US, because like the US is big and it's one currency and one. I feel like it's gonna be a little bit more exotic on this trip.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, like I said, even the culture is a little bit different from each of those countries and places. But I mean, I think it's going to be a really great opportunity for us to partner together and grow the community. Let everyone know, hey, we're both here in Asia and this is what we do, and have a really nice welcome environment where people can meet founders, entrepreneurs, experts, and just create that culture and community.
Yeah, so we're following the format that Flip has done in the Exit Roadshow in the US. So it's a 7 to 9 p.m. Well, there's one time, just check, of course, each event. One event in Ho Chi Minh is going to be a little bit earlier, but usually they're evening 7 to 9. And it's a free event, and we even accommodate some drinks and some nibbles. Nibbles? Australian there, learning
Yeah.
some. And it's a casual environment. We might have just a couple little quick announcements and some prizes, but it's not like PowerPoints and talks. So it's really meant to network and yeah, make some relationships. So I'm excited to follow this format.
Yeah, for sure. We just had a couple in Australia and just the people just saying, hey, oh my God, it's so great to meet the Flipper team in person. And I think obviously COVID's a little bit of a distance away now. We're all typically back to normal, but even still, networking in person is so valuable and really fun. So yeah, I'm excited.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I still feel like we, or at least I feel like our Global from Asia community, I've still gotten people still like going through transitions post-COVID. There's a couple even specific ones in my mind. I think we're still, at least our community is still kind of readjusting, because a lot was China cross-border and Asia cross-border, and there was a lot of damages with business and personal relationships during that time. We even had an event. We didn't call it the cross-border summit in the COVID. We did a broken border event. Yeah, it was a theme. We did the we have a, it was like an online one called the cross-border matchmaker. We have, and we do those sometimes online, more like roundtables, and we called it the broken border in 2021. It was actually a really good event, honestly, for an online event. People were because. But yeah, I mean, that was really damaging that for our, especially I think for our community, because it was
Yeah, but
separated internationally.
yeah, for your community, definitely. Like I've been to one of your online events, Mike, and they
Yeah.
are done well. They
Thanks.
were really
Thanks.
fun, and I ended up meeting someone that virtually, in person, virtually, that I had engaged with on Flipper. So it was
Cool.
quite funny, but yeah, I think it's there's definitely a place for those, but it'll be nice to get out in person.
Yeah, so definitely check out, we'll link it on the show notes, or the easy URL is flippa.com/Asia, and you can see the 6 cities and you can sign up. Please register. It is free, but please register in advance. We have to prepare how much food and drinks and the space, make sure there's enough space. So please register in advance and you'll get all the information about that, the time and the location once that's all set up. So let's move on. A little bit more on the business side. So I think most of us know Flippa in our community, although there were some we've even talked to in these venues that are not familiar, but your online platform to buy and sell online businesses. I remember listing with you guys in 2010 business. So I mean, you've been around for a long time. So I think maybe a little bit about Flippa, if I think it doesn't go so detailed, I think most of us know, but also some trends you're seeing in this deal flow now, like election year, I saw other points, stuff you're seeing.
Yeah, for sure. So we're an M&A platform for online businesses, and what we really love to kind of what we do and we love doing is we combine tech and people. So I'm a broker, senior broker in the APAC region, and I work with the platform, which is a tech platform, and it's got a huge global reach. We've been around for a long time, as Mike mentioned, and we combine that to provide people with a lot more deal flow than they may have experienced just going to a local traditional broker. So, Yeah, I think kind of jumping into the trends in the market, people have continuously asked me, like, is it slow and are we in a downturn and stuff like that? And I think there was a loss of confidence there for a little bit. There was the geopolitical challenges, high interest rates, an election year. For many countries, I think it's UK, Australia, and the US at the minute. So, and probably more, but so people kind of saw that as a bit shaky ground, but the confidence is definitely coming back. But buyers who were traditionally focused on like very large businesses, your 5 million plus revenue, they're considering other businesses a bit lower in revenue. So they're coming down in value, just which is that's a consequence of confidence and things like that. But it for the seller, it creates a more competitive environment, which is really interesting. So if you've got a business that's, one around that $1 million mark, you've got more buyers now. You've got which
Great.
is going to give you more options. So and that continues down the funnel chain as well. So whilst I think people kind of hear, oh my gosh, the market is shaky and things like that, it's not always the case. There's two sides of every story.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I do think so 1 million in revenue or valuation, I think it's revenue, right? Yearly. Okay. So anybody in that range, just talk to Fiona. So we'll also can meet her or of course reach out to her. I think it's also good. I think also just maybe I can say at Flippa, I think there is more people behind it. I mean, I don't know if that's a new thing or I just was too small or I didn't know how to reach people there, but there are people there, right? Like you that they can talk to, which is pretty awesome. I mean, because I think a lot of people feel like it's a, at least I maybe started out that way. It was more like online only. But it seems like you have people now, like you and others, that people can talk to, and it's bigger deals now. Maybe I always felt like maybe it used to be, again, I hope I'm not saying the wrong thing, but I maybe it's in the mind of others. I feel like it used to be more online only, maybe quote unquote smaller deals, but now it seems like you're doing more like bigger deals and more like broker, personal kind of things. Is that
Yeah, so
correct?
you're not wrong. You're correct. Back in 2010, you definitely would have seen it was self-service, it was smaller deals. We've upgraded our services on the tech side. So we integrate AI now. We've got a lot of integrations to verify both buyers and the businesses and things like that. And we've got some really great tools on these both the self-service side and the broker side, but then we have implemented our broker service, and that's the people. So again, going back to that combined people and tech, and we've moved up that value chain. So we saw the need to do that because you've got your investment bankers who won't look at anything less than 50 million, and then you've got other platforms that don't go into the lower middle market. So we saw the gap there, and that's definitely where we're kind of the experts.
Great. Really cool. Thanks for the insights. So we were talking about kind of general deal flow. Of course, we're here in Asia, but also e-commerce. So maybe some insights on e-commerce, because I remember it was just totally insane in 2020. I feel like 21 was the peak, but 2020, even I don't know. I could go on to this for such a long time, but basically I remember I thought that all the business were going to go to zero at the beginning of 2020. I thought business was dead. Like Amazon stopped accepting shipments. I thought we were just dead, but they said non-essential, right? So most of the stuff I sold and others I knew sold were non-essential. So some of us thought we were totally dead. We were just trying to sell masks to stay alive. We were just doing PPE to stay alive. Thought we were just dead. But yeah, then everything went crazy. And then all these aggregators, I guess there was a lot of money printing and people just buying everything and anything. It was just total insanity. But we feel like it's not like that now, right? But I mean, there's still some. What are some ways people can do deals now in e-commerce or FBA that you see?
So it's definitely stabilized. I mean, 2020, 2021, and even start of 2022 with anomalies, right? Like you had aggregators who were pushing up the competition, and they raised $16 billion in capital, and almost all of that was in 2021. So that gives you an idea of just how much a peak that was. And then of course COVID kept pushing that through, and people were obviously excited by the e-commerce side of things. And kind of going back to trends before, there's still demand for e-commerce for sure. I speak to buyers and sellers, so I work with both, and buyers still asking for strategic buys. So you and I have spoken about someone looking for a Japanese Amazon store. So they're looking at how can they expand globally into that cross-border business, and a lot of that is through acquisition. So I think it's for people who are maybe curious about the process of selling their business or who the buyers are and things like that. It's about having a conversation and understanding, is their business in a position to be sold and who that might be as far as buyers.
Yeah, I think we've talked to some sellers. I've been introduced to some, and they feel a little bit regretful they didn't sell when that crazy time was. So I guess none of us have the crystal ball, but some are wondering, should they wait, or should the valuations maybe come back? I mean, I've even had people think valuations might go down more from here. I don't know. I know it's like a crystal ball kind of thing, but I guess it's more about when should somebody sell, which is a whole topic by itself, right? I've heard people speak about that one topic for an hour, right? So I don't know if what you would say to some. I mean, you probably talk to people about this all the time, right? Like, what's the quick kind of answer of like.
I mean, I have an hour answer and I have a minute answer, so I'll
We
give you
also have you speaking at the cross. I
the
guess a little plug. You're coming to, of course, you're supporting Cross Border Summit. You'll come out. We'll have you speaking about this. And of course, you'll be there as well as these exit at the Asia roadshows too. But yeah, maybe just a quick, like, what do you tell somebody when they say, oh, should I wait? Should I sell now? Like,
So a pretty blanket statement without getting into the weeds of it is I always say you don't want to sell when you have to sell. So whether that is you have to sell because sickness, divorce, the business is not doing as well, you've moved on to something else. Like there is many, many reasons that I have sold businesses where people have had to sell, because regardless of the market conditions, you're going to be having to push it for a lower valuation. If you're selling at a time when the business is growing and healthy, again, regardless of the market conditions, it's going to sell at a higher valuation within that market. Granted, the valuation might not be as it was in 2021. That's an anomaly. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, unfortunately, and we don't have that crystal ball. So I think just get preparing your business so that when you are comfortable and ready to explore an exit, that's the best way to do it.
okay, great. Yeah, I think that's a important one, right? Because I think you're talking to some people about wait, they're waiting right now, or they're hoping. Yeah, so I guess the main point is, one my point is, if you lost your passion for it and the growth is going to go down, if somebody sees a downward trend on your business, that's not a easy, that doesn't make it easier to sell. So if you think you're going to like stop having the passion to push it up and show a good case, I guess sooner is better. Because a lot of times people will look in to sell. I think one reason people look in to sell is, well, actually, and there's so many questions I'd like to ask you, but I guess I guess probably in my opinion, people want to sell is because they've lost maybe that passion for that business, right? They want to do something else. Or, and I think when you get that thought, it's probably a good time to get serious about selling, because it's probably not going to go up in the growth of that business,
Yeah,
most likely.
correct. So a lot of people start other businesses while they're still fully focused on the older business, and it suddenly the other business takes off and they get distracted, for a lack of a better term, and then the other business suffers. So if you've already kind of prepared your business for sale, and I'm talking about the boring stuff like the financials and making sure it's all ready to go, then you're at least halfway there, right? You can contact a broker and say, we need to sell this, and like, let's get started, versus I don't even know where to start. So Yeah, you're right. People lose passion. They get distracted. I would say moving on to something else is probably the main reason people suffer.
Okay, great. My last main topic is cross-border summit, cross-border deals, cross-border business. That's a keyword I like, and I think especially in Asia, it must be cross-border. But I mean, Flippa, I think you're all, I think if I remember, I'm a user, I'm a buyer or seller. I don't know if digging my account one day, but a lot are like in sellers. A lot of times, I remember India, Vietnam, right? Like I don't know if. Put words in your mouth, but I remember a lot of the sellers are like Asia and buyers are like US or West. I don't know if that's a theme, but I mean, let's just talk generally about some of your experiences. I mean, you're here traveling, Carmen San Diego here, traveling everywhere, making deals all around the world. So like cross-border, what are some countries or deals, stories you can share?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Flipper, we've in our community, we're in 180 countries, and 62% of what we do is cross-border. So it's common, right? And a lot of the buyers are out of the US. And I would say, however, in Asia or APAC, including kind of Australia, New Zealand as well, it is a little bit more regional. So for example, last month, I had a Eastern European expat who resides in Thailand, and he sold his business to a company in India. And then at the moment, I'm working with a business in Singapore, and they're going to a family office in Israel. And then
Whoa.
a negotiating at the minute an e-commerce store out of Singapore to an Italian buyer living in Bali. So it's just that, like, the I mean, it's Mike, like, you're in this cross-border business, and the digital economy really has no boundaries, and it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, I've been sick of being restricted by where you're based. It's kind of one of my personal things. It's like, of course, I'm a privileged American Caucasian male, so I have these privileges. I almost want to argue there's almost reverse racism sometimes now in some places, but I was born like that. But I mean, I don't want people to do deals or be restricted just based on where they're born, right? I mean, one of my favorite things is to give people opportunities wherever they are, more based on their ability rather than their country of origin or whatever, right? So it's one of my passions at the community here. So it's great to see Flippa making that happen for people, because I basically some of these exits are life-changing for people, right? Like it's amazing. They worked hard building it and they can cash out. So it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the one in the one of the businesses in Singapore, he's cashing out so he can spend more time with his new son. And yeah, and I think kind of the cross-border also allows people to get really good businesses that they might not have had access to, right? So it's a bit of a stereotype, but you know, India's known for really good, strong software development. Eastern Europeans are known for really good app development. Asian beauty products, which is the e-commerce store I spoke about, they're known as being some of the best in the world. And so people in other countries get access to that and are able to I expand these brands. So
Cool.
it's really cool.
I mean, it's an amazing time. So I guess with that, we're making some deals here. Of course, the cross-border summit is actually our sixth. I don't know if should I should say annual or not. I mean, we had a whole gap because of COVID, we paused it. We didn't want to do the online ones during COVID. I had people begging me not to do the online cross-border summit because, like you said about offline events, they said that one of the core reasons, values of it is the offline networking, because it's not a big event. It's like we have a bit over 100 or so people, and but it's high value, high impact. So I'm really happy to have you and Flippa there to make some deals, because I know some last year did deals through Flippa. Actually, at Evo introduced some to Flippa that did deals after. Couple I know. And so it's gonna be great to have you at the summit, and you'll be speaking. And it's really cool when we were talking to do this roadshow, and I was so excited when you proposed that. And we'll We'll have a wild six city 3 week adventure. I'm preparing my wife. Literally before this call, I was preparing her. I'll be on the road, but it's going to be a great networking and community building experience.
Yeah, super excited. I think we're very privileged to be able to do this and
Yeah.
get out and get people excited about the Cross Border Summit. Get them knowing what it is, get them knowing what Flipper is and how we can help create a community in this region.
Yeah, it's amazing. So thanks, Fiona. We're talking regularly. It's been fun, and I can't wait to meet some amazing people listening to this show. I know there's quite a bit in Bangkok coming, Chiang Mai. I mean, almost Vietnam. I just got my e-visa approved. I've had three this year. I've been there three times. Every time I got to apply again, I just got it approved. I think yours is
Yeah, mine's pending.
still pending. Hopefully, Vietnam lets us go by
That's a
then.
thing.
It'll be great. So, and the Shenzhen's got a huge, huge interest already and got a great venue. So I can't wait to meet everybody there. And that's a wrap for now. And thanks. We'll put this at globalfromasia.com/flippa so people can see this show. And then of course we'll link to the events. So, or you can go right to the Asia Roadshow at flippa.com/Asia to see all of those, or you can link to that on the show notes. And I will let you go, Fiona. I know you're super busy. I'm super busy, but it was a pleasure to have you on the show. Glad we made it happen.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike. Looking forward to meeting everyone.
Save the date. Cross Border Summit 2024 is coming back. 2023's was epic. Never got such great feedback in all of our events. Cross Border Summit 2024, we're planning already a year in advance. It is a full week of amazing things. There's pre-events, post-events, workshops, trainings, elephant sanctuaries. We have a lot of amazing things here in Chiang Mai, Thailand again. So I would love to see you there. We've already pre-sold some tickets to previous people. We will be opening up tickets soon. Subscribe to get updates at 2024.crossbordersummit.com. Also, check out videos and testimonials from last year, as well as all of our years. We did them in China, and this will be our sixth one. It will be great to meet you there and network and make some great relationships. I can't wait. November 2024. Thanks, Fiona. Isn't she cool? She's really great. I always was really well impressed since I started talking to her and working with Flippa. It's been a lot of fun. Appreciate their support of our community and doing this joint roadshow and supporting the Cross Border Summit. So a little bit of insights. I booked all my flights. I will be flying to all of these six places and it's going to be fun. I've been to all of them in advance. I kind of been taking point on finding the venues and coordinating with a local operating team and things like that. So some behind the scenes insights for our Asia roadshow, first ever. So we have Chiang Mai, where I'm here right now. Fiona's coming in from Bali. We will go on Tuesday, September 24th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Atelier Co-working as of now. It'll be some free drinks and cocktails and networking and a little bit of snacks or nibbles. I'm learning Australian slang here. So that'll be epic. It's my home turf, my recent home turf. So starting here and can't wait to see some of you there. We also got some WhatsApp groups going just for this event. You can join and talk to some people. So I can't wait for the first one. Then we fly down to Bangkok on Thursday. So 2 days later after Tuesday, the 26th, we'll be in Bangkok 7 to 9 p.m. And that's going to be actually one of our most popular, heavily registered, most active ones of the six. So Bangkok's going to be amazing. We locked in a really cool corporate space that's getting confirmed right now. It's really going to be a nice environment, high up in the city here in Bangkok. So I think people are coming from all over South Thailand for that one. Already some good contacts coming. Can't wait for that. And then happened over to Vietnam, got the e-visa approved. We'll be going to Ho Chi Minh first in the south, Saigon. A lot of good friends. I was just there recently too. So we're going to do it at Amazon's headquarters there, up in there, high up on this really nice building in downtown Ho Chi Minh. That'll be earlier though, 5 to 7 p.m. because their office closes. So we adjusted that time a little bit earlier. We might also do a little private workshop at their office before for our VIPs. So it'd be great to see you there. Let us know if you're in Ho Chi Minh and in our circle. That's happening. And then we head up to Hanoi in North Vietnam. We got a hotel that'll be on Thursday, October 3rd, right? So Ho Chi Minh is Tuesday, October 1st. And then we're going to Hanoi, which Claire is amazing. Shout out to Claire. She's helping us on the ground there. We did an amazing event there earlier this year. So we have a great hotel lined up. We'll have some good cocktails and drinks and networking there. And then the weekend, fly up to Hong Kong. Hong Kong will be on, I'm tired of speaking about this, will be on October 8th. Of course, check flippa.com/Asia for the exact dates. And 8th, Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the Do in North Point on the Hong Kong Island. We got a really cool space there. I was preparing. We got some insights from the event about maximizing the use of that. So that'll be on Tuesday, October 8th. And then no flight there, just a land border to Shenzhen, China, my old home. That one's jam-packed. We're going to fill that one up already. It's still almost, it's like a month away, and its pre-registers are jammed. We got a nice law office in Futian. These are corporate office, Thursday, October 10th, 7 to 9 p.m. With, of course, as always, drinks. So I don't know if some people are going to see me in multiple. I think some people are going to Chiang Mai and Bangkok. Maybe you can join me in more, but it's going to be so intense. And then we, of course, have Canton Fair, and I'm going to DCBAK, and then, of course, our cross-border summit, November 3rd to the 5th. So I'm going to be basically on the road. I miss my kids already, but I love them, and I'll be calling them on the road. That's it for now. See you. globalformation.com/flippa for this show notes and embeds and downloads and links. And if you want to go to the URL for this roadshow, flippa.com/Asia, which is the landing pages of all the different events. So thanks so much. I can't wait to see you, and see you in the next show.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.